What is up, good people, and welcome back to the Razor's Edge podcast. In light of recent events, I think it is extremely important to understand who you are and where you come from. The history of this country is mired in evil, despicable acts. One of the most despicable acts is the way that some people treated others. When Europeans got to this country, they disrespected, they killed, and they took advantage of the native people. But there's a reason for that. It is because for generations, they were told that they were superior, and anyone that didn't look like them was there to be used for their benefit. Now, that's not true. It's a lie. Okay? God said when he spoke to the first man that you are made in my image and in my likeness. That means we are all like God. We are all like our creator. We are all like the one who established this planet. None of us are less than. None of us should be beaten or trodden down. We should all be on the same level. But currently, that's not the way it is. Recently, I got the opportunity to speak at an amazing church called Kingdom Family Fellowship. I love the people there because it's my family. My parents are actually the pastors over there. So I got the opportunity to speak and share. And this podcast is actually going to be the audio from that sermon. So be blessed, learn, and welcome to the edge. Let's get sharp. All right, Father, we thank and praise you for the opportunity to gather and to come before you again. God, thank you for the opportunity for me to be able to share a word. God, please take over my mind, take over my mouth. Whatever it is that you want to say, whatever it is that you want to be heard, God, let that be spoken forth today. Father, prepare the hearts of your people, prepare the minds of your people as we get ready to dive into this word, God. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so first of all, I want to say thank you to my lovely wife right here. She is really, really awesome. Because normally she, the weekend is her time and she is not shy about asking me for it. So when she wants her time, she'll be like, hey, come over here and kind of chill with me. Let's cuddle. Let's do whatever. Her love language is quality time. And so this weekend when I had to focus on getting this done, she let me have it. So she did that for everybody. So I just really appreciate her. I love you, boo-boo. Okay. Anyway. Let's get started. That is awkward, but that's why I did it. Anyway, so how is it possible for one person to hate another person on sight? How is it possible for one person to love and respect another when they first meet? The answer is simple. They're taught to. We just recently got a subscription to Disney Plus. You know, I love movies, so, and I'm probably contractually obligated to buy anything associated with Disney because I work there. But anyway, we just got Disney Plus, and one of the first movies that we watched on Disney Plus was a movie called The Color of Friendship. Stop texting. My phone is vibrating. I'm sorry. The movie was called The Color of Friendship, and it's about a white South African girl who is going to live with an American family during apartheid. And the family she gets sent to live with is an affluent black family. And not only are they an affluent black family, but they're the DeLooms. And so Congressman Ron DeLooms was a prominent voice during apartheid, against apartheid in America. So this basically, prejudiced South African white girl gets sent to live with this black family. And so while we were watching the movie, the little girl is 14 and she meets the oldest daughter of the congressman who's about the same age. And I'm curious as to how this little 14-year-old girl is so prejudiced and so closed-minded, but the other 14-year-old girl is so woke and so open to change and open to integration and loving people. And again, the answer is simple, because they were raised differently. The white girl, excuse me, I feel bad for even saying white girl right now, the South African girl, she lived in a culture that literally shut down information. There were certain books that they weren't allowed to read. There were certain movies that they weren't allowed to watch. So the information that she was privy to all told her one thing. And the American girl, her parents exposed her to a lot of other things, exposed her to things about other cultures and other people. So she wasn't racist or she wasn't prejudiced in that way. So again, the answer is that they were raised differently. So some people were raised to treat everyone with love and respect, to give people the benefit of the doubt. They were taught that people are innocent until proven guilty. They were taught that every individual deserves to be judged by the content of their character and not by the color of their skin. And character cannot be determined at first sight. Character is revealed over time with words and actions. The word teaches that from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speak. The word also teaches that what enters the mouth, like food or drink, is not what defiles the body, but what comes out of your mouth, which comes from your heart, is what really defiles you. So that is where character comes from, and it's developed over time. The Bible also teaches that when you train up a child in the way that he should go, when he gets old, he won't depart from it. So, if you are taught all your life that you are superior and that everyone who doesn't look like you is there to serve you and be used by you, when you grow up, it's going to be extremely difficult to break that habit. Now, it is a habit. It was based on a lie, and it needs to die, but it is still going to be extremely difficult for you to let some things go. So, even though it is a lie, that is what some people were taught for hundreds of years. For generations, the majority of the New Testament, if we go to the Bible, is actually written during the Roman occupation. And when the Romans conquered Greece, they burnt down everything except the library. They valued that information. So, the Greek philosophy teaches this, that leadership and rulership is God-given, and God gives leaders and rulers a certain look. That look was light skin, light eyes, light hair, pointed noses. So what happens when you think like a Greek and you move like a Roman? So they have a Greek philosophy that says that leaders look a certain way, and they have the Roman movement of conquer, conquest, and colonize. So what happens when you think like a Greek, but you move like a Roman? You conquer, you colonize, and you teach your philosophy to everybody else. So when the last Roman Empire is disbanded, it becomes the countries of Europe. So England, France, Germany, Denmark, Portugal, Spain, all of those places, they still think like Greeks and they still move like Romans. So they start their conquest and they pull up to America. They see Native Americans, red skin, dark hair. They don't look like us. Get them. They pull up to India. They see dark skin, dark hair. They don't look like us. Get them. They pull up to the Caribbean and they see the Taino Indians and they see the Mayans. Again, they don't look like us. Get them. They pulled up to Africa and they thought they hit the mother lode. They definitely don't look like us. They're black, they're brown, their hair is tight curls, their noses are wide and flat. These people are supposed to serve us. These people are supposed to be what we want them to be. Get them. So that lie spreads to the entire world. And even to this day, some people think that way. Whether they know it or not, whether they believe it or not, they still think like that. And so there's what in science, there's what's called a known unknown and an unknown unknown, which means there's some stuff we don't know. We don't know. So there are some people who really don't know what they don't know. They don't know what their history is. They don't know where these lessons and stuff is coming from. But it is our responsibility to preach. It is our responsibility to teach. And the word teaches that how can somebody call on the name of the Lord unless they first believe? Mm-hmm. And how can they first believe if somebody don't tell them? And how can somebody tell them if there's no preacher or teacher there? And then how can somebody preach and teach if they haven't been sent? So I understand that it is not the responsibility of Black people to teach. I get it. But there's this thing called the fivefold ministry. And there are some of us who are specifically called to preach, to teach, to prophesy. So that fivefold is supposed to do what? They're supposed to empower and equip the body to do what it is that they're called to do. And they're called to literally change the world, to establish God's kingdom mm-hmm. on this planet. So it is somebody's job, and somebody needs to step up, and somebody needs to get it done. The Bible says that the world is groaning and moaning. The world is in pain, waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. In 2017, me and Desi, we started laying the foundation of our coaching business. We had to come up with a name for it. And so the name that we settled on was Savage Lifestyle Solutions. Now, we called it this because solutions, I believe that everybody is here for a purpose. I believe that we were born into this world as a solution to a problem. Someone somewhere was in pain. They were in turmoil. They were in trouble, and they cried out for help. And the answer arrived when you were born. You are not a mistake. You are not an accident. You are not a problem. You are an answer to somebody's prayer. There was a desperate situation here on earth, and your life is the solution to that issue. Lifestyle. It's a lifestyle change. Yes. It is not a one-time decision. It is a lifetime of decisions to grow, to change, to get better than you were yesterday. Consistency over time is what leads to success. So you have to stay the course, and you cannot give up. And then the last part, of course, is Savage, for obvious reasons, because it is my name. But also, I'm sorry, let me get my thoughts together. Where is it? Okay. And Savage, for obvious reasons, because it's my name. But the not so obvious reason is, because in order to change your lifestyle, you need a certain tenacity. You need a certain righteous anger. You need a certain attitude in order to approach this thing. And it has to be, you got to be a little bit angry. You got to be a little bit arrogant. You got to be a little tougher to be able to change your life. The Bible says, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your right hand is starting to become an issue, cut it off. That's what the Bible says. And how savage is that? Better to go into heaven handicapped than to go healthy, whole to hell. So you can go entirely to hell. Okay. So you have to be aggressive when it comes to making life-changing decisions. You have to be aggressive when it comes to changing your life. So if God says in the Bible, and I understand it's just a metaphor, if God says in the Bible to pluck out your eye, then it shouldn't be an issue to be able to stop watching something that you shouldn't be watching. If he says to cut off your hand, then it shouldn't be a problem to cut off a relationship that no longer serves you. It's not getting you anywhere. It's not getting them anywhere. It's not helping you move forward. It's not making you no type of money. It's not making you better as an individual. So it's time to cut some of those things off. 1 second. Right. So I understand where am I going here? When I think of what I've been. Okay. So I understand that a lot of what makes me did not come from me. I understand that there is some stuff that I didn't have any control over. And it's most of the stuff that is like the core of who I am. Like, I didn't choose when I was going to be born. I didn't choose to be black. I didn't choose to be tall. I didn't choose my parents. I didn't choose my family. I didn't even know my name until somebody told me what it was. So a lot of this stuff did not come from me. I imagine that conversation went something like, "Hey, little boy, when we say Michael, we're talking to you, okay? All right, I need you to get it together." And then I got to school and I'm like, there's other little boys named Michael, so now I'm confused again. And they're like, "Listen, when we say Michael, we're talking to you, unless we're talking to one of them. Now go sit down, all right?" So anyway, that's the experience. But again, I understand that a lot of who I am did not come from me. Even some of the habits that I've developed, I understand that I have been blessed by them from my beloved earthly father, okay? And I didn't even know I had some of these habits until my lovely wife pointed them out to me. But now I understand that I'm a lot like my dad, and for a reason. And again, I didn't get that. I didn't give that to myself. I didn't choose to be like that. Even in my gifts, even in my abilities, okay. Even in my gifts and my abilities, I didn't choose those. I didn't choose what I was going to be good at. I didn't choose what I was naturally going to be attracted to. I didn't choose that. It was given to me. I didn't purchase it. And I understand that it was given to me with the added bonus of responsibility. And that responsibility is called purpose. I'm supposed to use these gifts and I'm supposed to use these abilities to establish God's kingdom, to make the world a better place, to serve where I can serve.
Yeah.
And whenever I think about that, I always think about the story of the talents. So that story is in Matthew 25. And I'm going to paraphrase it. I think Becky has already put all the scriptures that I'm using into the group chat. So please make sure you take note of those and go back and study throughout the week. But basically what happens is a master gives his servants some money, or some talents is what they're called. And he gives one servant one talent, he gives another servant two talents, and he gives another servant five talents. And so we know the story that the two servants that received more invested what they were given and doubled that investment. And the one servant that received one took it and buried it and then gave it back to the master unused. Now, when the master returned, the servant said, "Here it is." And his excuse for not investing, his excuse for not doing anything, was simply, "I was afraid." Now, I know I'm guilty of that. Taking my talent, taking my gift, taking my ability and burying it under fear, doubt, insecurity, guilt. All of those different things all equate back to fear, because I doubt, because I'm afraid that I'm not really called. I'm afraid that God might have made a mistake. I'm afraid that I'm not gifted and talented enough. I'm insecure because I fear rejection. I fear that once I put my content out there, they're going to clown me. They're going to roast me on the internet. So I'm afraid for all of those different reasons. But again, it all comes down to fear. So we need to deal with this fear thing. And how are we going to deal with it? Number one, know where it comes from. If you got a pen and paper, write that down. Number one, know where it comes from. That's why I need you. Know where it comes from. Okay. So let's go back to the first mention of fear is in Genesis chapter 3. And everybody knows that story. This is right after the fall of man, after they've eaten of the forbidden tree. God comes to the garden and he's looking for Adam and Eve. He can't find them. I'm sure he can find them, but he says, "Adam, where are you?" And Adam's response is this: "I heard you coming and I was afraid because I was naked." And God's response to Adam is in the form of a couple questions. He says, "Who told you you were naked?" And that is what that comes from is That's what that title comes from. That's what that first point comes from. Who told you you were naked? Where did that information come from? And I'm sure God was like, after he was looking for Adam and he didn't find him, he was like, listen, who told you you were naked? Who told you you weren't enough? Who told you that you weren't called? Who told you that you didn't have what it takes? Who told you that you were going to fail? Who told you to be afraid? Who told you you were naked? Where did you get that information from? Why were you afraid? God was probably like, I didn't give you the spirit of fear. I gave you love. I gave you power. I gave you a sound mind. In some translation, it says a clear and well-balanced mind. So you're not crazy. That's not what I gave you. He probably said, I gave you the spirit not to fear, but the spirit of adoption so that you can cry, Abba, Father. I know he probably said that my sheep know my voice and a stranger they will not follow. So where did you get this information? Who told you you were naked? So who is it that told you you were naked? The next question that God asked of Adam is, have you eaten from the tree I told you not to eat from? Have you been disobedient? Just be real. I'm like, guilty, me. I've been disobedient. I have done some things that he told me clearly not to do. Where Becky at? He told me go left, or he told me go right. What's the song? I don't remember. He told me go one way and I went the other way. Okay. Lamb of God. Anyway. Yes. Anyway. So he told me to go one direction. I went in the other direction. So where did you go that you wasn't supposed to go? Who did you listen to that you wasn't supposed to listen to? What did you watch or what did you allow into your ear gate, your eye gate that you weren't supposed to allow? How were you disobedient? How did you fall short? Go back to that thing, understand where it is, ask for forgiveness, repent, and move on. Okay? Know where it came from. The second thing we can do to deal with fear is be prepared. I know that for me, I always get nervous whenever I have to speak, whenever I have to present, no matter what it is, if it's a meeting, if it's a podcast, if it's a video I got to make, if it's me preaching, I always get a little nervous. But I know that the more prepared I am, the more studying I do, the more I write down, the more I familiarize myself with the material, the more confident I am when I present it. So being prepared is a huge part of that. And the Bible teaches the same thing. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Bible says, be ye also ready, because no man knows the day or the hour. The Bible says that you're supposed to be able to preach in season and out of season. The Bible says you should always be ready to give account for the hope of the glory that is in you. So please always prepare yourself. Be prepared. Stay ready. If you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. So when it's time to go, you just go. That's how it's supposed to be. I hear Optimus Prime said, Autobots, transform, and roll out. Let's go. All right. I'll praise them. Yes, I will. Anyway, and the third thing that we can do to deal with fear is love. Love, 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 love. Love, perfect love, cast out fear. Okay? And we know that the rules behind love are love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your strength, and then love your neighbor like you love yourself. So, love your neighbor like you love yourself. You got to love God with everything that's in you. And as you love in him, he's teaching you how to love yourself. And then you got to love yourself to the point where you're willing to forgive yourself for all the foolish stuff you did, for all the foolish mistakes you made. You got to forgive yourself and love yourself enough to move forward. And then you got to love people enough to be able to share your gift, share your talent, share your ability, regardless of what they might think about you because you love them. You know they need that information. You know they need somebody to pour into them. You know what it is they need, and you're giving it to them regardless of what that means to you. So love is the answer. So this is how we're going to deal with fear. Is number one, know where it came from. Number two, we're going to be prepared, prepare ourselves. And that's not just for studying the word, because the Bible says everybody ought not be a teacher. Everybody's not called to preach. Everybody's not called to teach. Yes, you should know the word so that you can do battle on your own behalf. Yes, you should pray so that you can have a relationship with the Father on your own. You got to work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. That's extremely important that you have that relationship. But you have to work on and develop your skill set and your talent and your gift in that same way. So me as a writer, I need to write every day. Me as a content creator, I have to work on content every day because that is my gift. That's my ability. That's the thing that I'm supposed to be doing. And I have to perfect it because I don't know when the next opportunity is going to come. So make sure you're being prepared. And that third thing is love. And that's probably the most difficult thing in the world that we live in today. But we have to learn how to love. But we have the ultimate teacher to teach us how to love. You know what I'm saying? The music soul to teach me how to love. Teach me how to get my emotions. Okay, anyway, moving on. So we need to learn how to love. And so these are the three things that we're going to use to overcome fear and to do what it is we're called to do. Please remember that you are here for a reason. You are not a mistake. You are not an accident. You are a solution to a problem. Please remember that you are going to have to shift your lifestyle. And yes, it is a lifestyle change. That's what true repentance is all about. It's a turn. It's changing the way you think about a subject completely, from what you think to what God thinks, from what your opinion is to what God's opinion is. That's what it means to truly repent, to turn. I know last year was a big thing. 2019, we're no longer accepting verbal apologies. We're only accepting a change in behavior. So that's the same thing. Repentance is the same thing. You're not just saying, God, I'm sorry. God, forgive me. You're saying, God, I'm sorry. And then you're shifting whatever behavior you need to shift. And you got to do it like a savage, beast mode. You got to go hard. You got to be able, you got to be willing to do whatever it takes. You have to have that by any means necessary attitude when you're changing your life. If it takes cutting off a relationship, if it takes sacrificing something that you really like to do, make that move in order to fully embrace the things that God has for you, in order to fully embrace your purpose. So we'll end it with this. Did you know that eagles can walk? Yep. The same eagle that can fly over mountains, the same eagle that can fly through the clouds, can also walk. He can live his entire life on the ground. That lets me know two things. Number one, just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it. Okay? Just because you can have it easy, just because you can be comfortable, doesn't necessarily mean that that's God's goal and God's purpose for your life. And the other thing is, the other thing it lets me know is that your life, you can live your entire life without actually taking a hold of your purpose. Because honestly, that eagle can walk his entire life, but it has not really lived its purpose. It has not really given God his full glory. It has not really manifested its own full glory until it leaps off the ground and soars through the air. So please remember that you are an eagle. Yes, you have the ability to walk, but you ain't supposed to be down there. Jump off the ground. Fly. God has called you. Answer the call. And the world needs you. I love you.
Yeah!
right, people. I hope you really enjoyed that. I hope you got something from it. I hope you were able to pull some nuggets and learn some stuff. Now it's time for the final thought. So my final thought today is, knowing is not enough. Knowing is not enough. Having the right answer available, having the know-how, but still not taking action on the things that you are aware of is not enough. It is time for you to finish the work. So take those good things that you know, take that knowledge, take that understanding that you have, and put it to good use. There's somebody out there that needs what you have. There is somebody out there who is dying and struggling and suffering, waiting for you to step up and do what it is that you're called to do. So please, knowing is not enough. You need to get to work. I love you, and remember, you are not a mistake. You, my friend, are a solution. Thank you.